Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us on WFN right now is John Morosi of the MLB Network to do a comprehensive evaluation of both the Yankees and the Mets at the 2021 trade deadline. John, benvenuti.
Hey, grazie mille, Danielle. Always a pleasure to speak with you, whether it's English or Italian, and great to speak about both the Yankees and Mets at the trade deadline here today.
We are the Yankees Radio Network. We will start with them. Signor Morosi, maybe Professore Morosi, as we sit here the weekend after the deadline, what grade would you assign for the Yankees front office and why?
Danielle, I would say an A, because they really have assessed their issues correctly, which was a lack of left-handed power. We had well documented the fact that before this trade, Joey Gallo had hit more home runs than all Yankee left-hand hitters combined this season, which is stunning when you consider the great left-handed heritage of the Yankees, whether it was Ruth or Gehrig or Reggie Jackson all throughout the decades and generations. So for me, even with the Gallo move, that was sufficient. But then to see them get Rizzo as well, I think was a really important decision and really balances out the lineup nicely. It adds in two really good defensive players as well. And so you now have balance, you have depth. It allows you, I think, by having Rizzo to manipulate it and really have a better infield for your club going forward and really put the best group out there possible. You can bump DJ LeMahieu around a little bit as needed. It's just, it gives you a lot of flexibility and I think gives Aaron Boone a lot of options. So this is a team that I know has had its fair share of criticism, Danielle, during the course of the year, but these are two players that really add a lot of sock to the lineup and just a lot of consistency and professionalism for a team that has certainly had a lot of comings and goings as the season has gone along.
So I guess multiple choice here then. Is this team built to win a wild card, B division, C league, or D World Series?
Great question, Danielle. I don't look at this team candidly as the likely AL champion. And I similarly think that in the AL East, that Boston or Tampa will be able to win the division, even though I was a little underwhelmed by what the Red Sox were doing at the deadline. And certainly Tampa, with the news of Glasnow potentially being out for the year, is a really significant blow for them. So I would still say the Yankees find a way to be a wild card team. I'm pretty confident that we'll see one wild card team coming out of the East and one wild card team probably coming out of the West, whether it's Oakland or more likely Oakland than Seattle. So I would say that they've still got a shot at a wild card, but it's going to be an uphill climb. They have to play better down the stretch. They need, I think, some improved performances from their rotation as well. But I think this is a team that looks to me like one that can get hot late and really ride what I expect to be a really good lineup to a wild card berth in the American League.
You know, they didn't address the rotation. I thought they might have. Do you know why they didn't?
You know, it's a great question, Daniel. I think they tried. I also think that they've already committed a lot of rotation spots to the veteran pitchers. And it can be hard with respect to the luxury tax threshold to layer in additional expensive starters at a time when you really have really invested a lot of money in pitchers, especially like a Gerrit Cole, to a lesser extent, Taillon and Kluber, and Herman is someone that they are probably going to rely on here the balance of the year. Montgomery's been pretty good. So I certainly understand that there have been enough inconsistencies with the rotation where you could have said, yes, they should address it, but they've also filled up the roster already to this point. And if you're going to trust big starts to Herman down the stretch or Kluber based on health, again, Montgomery's been pretty good. I'm just not sure that they had as clear of a path to improving their rotation as they had with the lineup, where I think their needs and the roster spots were pretty clear to fill there.
And we're talking with John Morosi from MLB Network. You know, it was really public knowledge that the Yankees were shopping Luke Voit. So why is he still a Yankee?
You know, another great question, because I think they tried to move him at the deadline. And I just don't think that there was enough interest in him based on how he has played this year. There's two pretty significant weaknesses with him right now. One is the inconsistency of the health, and one is the inconsistency of the performance. And when you combine those two things, the Yankees probably wanting to price him a little bit off of what he was last year, which was an AL MVP candidate. And I think you see why it was such a challenge. There just was not the amount of consensus around what his proper price point would have been. And as it is now, he's going to certainly have a diminishment in his playing time. He's going to have to earn his way back into the Yankees lineup. It's a challenging future probably for them to project as well. And that's where he's going to have to find some ways, Danielle, to get at-bats to prove that he can still be the player that they thought he was last year. Because if he's not, then you look at Gallo, of course, is someone who they can control beyond this year. And Rizzo, you would hope, is someone that's going to be part of their future plans and maybe someone that they would sign long-term. We heard Anthony talk about all the family he's got in New York and New Jersey and the Yankee fans and his family and the comfort level in playing in New York. I mean, there's a lot for Anthony where if he gets off to a really good start here and some momentum going forward, I could see Anthony liking the idea of being a Yankee beyond this year.
And not to mention, he's got his own ice cream flavor at a pasticceria in Lyndhurst. So you're right about that.
And to me, Danielle, it all goes back to the pasticcerias in Lyndhurst as well. So anytime you can mention that and the Italian American culture, Danielle, I'm always happy.
The other thing, this is not rocket science, but Luke Voit's role on this team is predicated on the ability of Giancarlo Stanton to play in the outfield. But why is that such a ridiculous ask of a young enough guy that averaged just 118 games per season in the outfield before he got to New York?
Right. No, that's a fair point. And I think with Stanton, there have been so many injuries and so many issues in that regard just from a health maintenance standpoint for him to play the outfield. It's going to be tricky for me to see going forward how many games Giancarlo is going to be able to play in the outfield and what's a fair expectation. There's obviously, Danielle, a lot of study going in on the sports science end of things about how you optimize health and performance. And the Yankees do have a fair amount of data on Stanton at this point in time and how durable he could be or should be based on how many games he's able to play in the outfield. And if that number remains low, you're right. It's really going to compromise the amount of games that Voit can play. But we all realize, too, Danielle, that when you're signed to a contract that Stanton is signed to, that's where the attention and focus is going to go. And Yankee fans might not all like it, and certainly Luke Voit might not like it either, but you're right. His playing time is tied directly to what is going to happen to one of the highest paid players in the sport and how often Giancarlo can play the outfield. I think that to me is a huge question for the Yankees going forward, one where I hope they get some level of clarity over the balance of the year, but obviously there is still some term left on Stanton's contract. And I do think that there will be at least some measure of clarity on what Voit's future is based on how often Giancarlo can play in the outfield over the last 2 months of this regular season.
I can imagine Luke Voit hitting fly balls to Giancarlo Stanton, like, get out there, buddy, get out there.
I think it's a fair point, Danielle. It's a fair point. And I think everyone around the Yankees knows it. It's part of their decision-making process. And I also think it's one of the reasons why I've been a believer that Aaron Boone has been unfairly criticized this year a little bit. He has not had a lineup that has afforded him a lot of flexibility, whether it's because of players on the IL, players like Stanton, whose defensive versatility is somewhat compromised. There's just not a lot of different routes that Aaron has been able to go in. And I think that a lot of the criticism about his decisions has been a little bit unwarranted, because maybe that criticism doesn't fully take into consideration how limited his options truly are.
You guys are listening to All-Star contributor to the MLB Network, John Morosi, here on The Fan. You know, I think probably league-wide now, I think Trey Turner might have been the biggest surprise of being moved. And I know that the Yankees were in on him until at least the day before the deadline. Why ultimately were the Yankees out on him?
Well, I think, Danielle, the Dodgers' ability to package together what is regarded as their number one and two prospects, according to MLBpipeline.com, in Josiah Gray and Keibert Ruiz in the same deal, I think that was it. And that's great value. The Dodgers have done a very good job developing prospects the last couple of years, both those that are with them at the major league level, like a Walker Buehler or Will Smith behind the plate, Julio Urias. They've done a really good job. Tony Gonsolin's one more name of knowing who to keep and who they could potentially move. And the way that Will Smith has played at the major league level, Danielle, is part of the story here. That's what's allowed them to trade Keibert Ruiz. They did not want to give up Ruiz. They believe he's going to be a frontline catcher in the major leagues for a long time. But they also have a frontline catcher in the major leagues right now in Will Smith. And so I think that's the piece of it that made sense to give him up. And the Dodgers were comfortable giving up both players, Gray and Ruiz, plus two more prospects in the same deal. And I think from that standpoint, the Nationals wanted to go with immediate right now value that they trusted. And to get that value, that was why the Nationals had the package both Max Scherzer and Trey Turner in the same deal. Trust me, Danielle, if the Yankees would have been able to give up two prospects that the Nationals liked as much as they liked Ruiz and Gray, I think that Turner and Scherzer would both be Yankees. But the issue is, would Max have agreed to the deal? We don't know that. And clearly the Nationals did not like what the Yankees were offering in the same way in a tandem than what the Dodgers had. And I think that's why Trey Turner right now is a Dodger and why Max Scherzer is a Dodger today.
We're talking with D. John Morosi on The Fan. Let's switch gears to the Queens here. Let's go back to Professore Morosi. What grade would you assign for the Mets front office and why?
I think also very high. I would say probably an A-minus as well for them, because they did a very good job of bringing in Javier Baez. He's going to be able to play shortstop for them in the short term. Trevor Williams gives them depth and some insurance, given where the Jacob deGrom situation is and the uncertainty surrounding Jacob's immediate future. And, of course, we have to realize they also had brought in, previous to the deadline, Rich Hill. And he is someone that is has a tremendous resume in this game for a long time, has filled multiple different roles. I think will be a very valuable pitcher for the Mets down the stretch. So I like what both teams did, Danielle. I really mean that. Maybe I'm grading on a generous curve. Maybe a Professore Morosi needs to be a little bit of a harsher grader, but I think overall I like what I saw from both teams. And Javi, he's such an interesting player, Danielle, in the sport, because Baez, when he is locked in and when his emotions are channeled in a positive way, he can deliver some of the best performances of any player in the sport. And I think that the Mets, because of the environment there, he'll be playing with a couple of his teammates from the World Baseball Classic and Francisco Lindor and also Edwin Diaz. I think we're going to see the best version of him, and I'm really excited to see how things play out from there.
And I know you're such a huge fan of the World Baseball Classic.
As
am I. I love it. I guess the same multiple choice question then. Is this Mets team built to win a wild card, division, league, or World Series?
I don't see them winning the World Series, nor do I see them winning the National League. I think the NL champ is going to be either the Brewers or a team from the West. But I certainly think winning the division is very possible for them. But they're going to have to withstand, Danielle, I believe, a late charge from one of the other teams in that division, because I look at the Braves as being capable of a surge. And I certainly think the Phillies can too. The Phillies did a very good job at the deadline, bringing in Gibson, bringing in Kennedy to help the bullpen. They brought back Galvis. There's a lot to like about the Phillies roster right now. And if they're able to get enough consistency from that pen, we know Joe Girardi really knows how to run a bullpen. I just think he hasn't quite had the equipment with the Phillies to be able to do a good job with that particular part of the club. So I think the Mets find a way to hold off the Phillies and the Braves. It's going to be a close race. And I am a little bit nervous about DeGrom and his health and what that means near term and long term. He hasn't been able to be out there consistently enough. And for a pitcher that we all love to watch on the mound, what he means to the game is he's so electrifying as a performer. But the health questions right now, Danielle, are real for him. And you have to wonder if you're the Mets. You almost have to plan on not having it, so that way you have enough pitching depth to go, and you're gonna have to lean on Walker and Stroman and Carrasco and Hill now and Williams. That's gonna have to be the group that you plan on winning with. And if DeGrom comes back and contributes down the stretch, it's gonna be a bonus.
Well, to me, I'm gonna dissent a little bit. I'm not gonna go with your A minus, but Trevor Williams, he's a questionable ad for me, because he outputs a quality start only 25% of the time. Mm-hmm. So what's your read on why the Mets liked him so much?
Well, I think to me, then, Danielle, it has to do with the rest of their rotation, how they evaluate Carrasco, how they evaluate Hill, how they evaluate Stroman and Walker. I mean, to me, if Williams is your fifth or sixth starter, you're okay. And that's what he's going to be for the Mets. If you're counting on him to start a playoff game, you're probably gonna be disappointed. I don't have him as part of their playoff rotation if they get there. Their playoff rotation, obviously, if Jacob is healthy, is likely to be DeGrom, Stroman, Carrasco, and Walker. And then you've got Hill as a swing guy, or he steps into the rotation if Jacob can't go. And that's a pretty respectable rotation. It's not as good as Milwaukee's, by the way. And that's the team they're probably gonna have to deal with in the first round. And that's why I'm saying they're not a pennant winning team for me. They can win the division. The other rotations in that division don't necessarily scare me either, in terms of being one that I would say, oh my gosh, I'm not sure I could win a playoff series against that group. But Danielle, for me, the Mets are not going to be able to win a playoff series against the Brewers. The Brewers are going to have a better team, and they've got an excellent group. I think right now, when you consider what they put together with Peralta, Woodruff, and Burns, I mean, that might be the best 1-2-3 in the National League, period, even ahead of the Dodgers. I mean, they're that good. So I've got a lot of questions about the Mets rotation long term. Yes, I agree. But I think that they did a pretty decent job of upgrading in the near term and giving themselves some insurance against the possibility that DeGrom can't come back.
So this Javi Baez move, yes, he's a really good player. Yes, he's an upgrade over Jeff McNeil at second base. I ran some numbers, 8 different offensive categories. He beats him in almost all of them. But where do the Mets see this Javi Baez fitting in once Lindor returns? Is he the everyday second baseman?
I think so. I think that the notion of having him play alongside Lindor will bring out the best in Baez and the best in Lindor. And they both want this. They both want to play on the same side of the infield together. And when that's the case, you sort of let that happen. You go with it and say, okay, guys, you want to play side by side. Let's make this happen and see what kind of jolt it gives us. To me, it's interesting, Danielle, because that's probably going to happen right around the 1st of September or sometime in August, whenever Frankie gets back. And that's the time of the calendar when you need a boost. August, as we know, is a tough month. It's the month where I think a lot of the players in the sports this month coming up are going to start to feel that taxing nature of the full season and the long year, and especially coming off of the shorter season last year. And when you have energy like that, that can really carry you through the month of August. I'm going to look at this as a month where you're really going to see the teams that are dialed in mentally and physically and the way they play. And the Mets, I think, with the way that Javi brings it every day, and Frankie as well, put them in the middle of the diamond, and let them go. Let them go until they prove that they're not the best double play combo. And then you move McNeil around, whether it's third, whether it's the outfield. He's clearly got a major league bat, clearly an all-star bat when he's 100% and right. But I think for me, Danielle, I would let Frankie and Baez be the double play combination as long as they will carry you and give them that chance to have that be their ownership and their identity now going forward.
We're talking with John Morosi. My final question here is, see, I would have went in a different direction if I were the Mets. I mean, Chris Bryant was a must get for me if I'm the Mets. The Giants, I looked, ultimately gave up their number 7 and their number 17 prospect in order to get him. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't or why didn't the Mets make that deal instead?
Yeah, it's a great point, Danielle. I think that they probably could have. I also think that when you look at the deal as it happened down the stretch, the Cubs liked that they had been really working on the Giants farm system a lot the last couple of weeks. They liked the package they got back. And also, relationships played a huge role in the final hours there. That was the last hour trade. And Scott Harris is the GM of the Giants. He was a longtime assistant GM with the Cubs. And having that familiarity and that connection, I think, really helped that deal move across the finish line at the very end of the day. Now, as you know, Zach Scott knows Jed Hoyer in Chicago from going way back, and there's a connection there too. And so I'm sure that was part of the conversation. But the recency of Scott Harris's time in the Cubs front office, I think, really helped the Giants feel confidently about why Bryant was important, and vice versa, gave a lot of comfort and trust on either side to make that deal work at the very end. So tremendous deal. I think it was a really unique fit on a lot of levels. And my goodness, Danielle, it was the best trade deadline I have ever covered. Yeah. The best one I can ever remember following as a fan. And I just can't wait to watch what feels like a reopening day this weekend with all these new players and new places. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch them play out the balance of the season. And I just got, I mean, for me, I always love baseball, but I got a jolt of excitement about what this last couple months of the year is going to look like. And I just can't wait to watch these new storylines unfold.
Yeah. Great way to put that. And I'm excited as well. And will, I lied. This is my last question. Will I see you at the Italian American Baseball Foundation dinner, December?
Let's hope so. Certainly. I have to make sure that aligns with my, with our family's calendar and all the different various, travel plans that we've got for that time of year, Danielle, but I'm going to say a prayer that I'll be able to get there and certainly support all the great work that you do there. And they are lucky to have you. The IABF is such a huge part of the family there. So Danielle, I hope, espero que ci vediamo presto. And anytime I could be of help, my friend, please let me know. Okay.
Portiamo gallo e riso con noi.
Certamente, certamente. Sì. Un grande piacere. Sempre un grande piacere di parlare con voi. Ci vediamo presto e un caro saluto a voi e tutta la famiglia di IABF anche.
John, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Piacere mio, Daniel. Look forward to the next time as well. Thanks so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.